went on down to my favorite fishing hole, and I got myself a pole in line.
Welcome back. This is Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we have the pleasure of the Grizz. Actually, his name is Mike Ritz.
Yeah, you do.
His name is really Mike Ritz, but I don't think anybody knows that. Now,
I don't think so either, John.
The Grizz is a, he lives in La Paz. He has had a very, I'm not going to say checkered past, Grizz, because that's not what it is, but you've had a lot of experience in the world of fishing in the United States, fly fishing, freshwater fishing, and for the last, gosh, how many years you've been down there? About 10 years now in Mexico?
In Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
The 22nd of January, I have been here for 30 years.
Whoa. Boy, you're older than I thought
That's
you were.
That's my anniversary, the 22nd.
Wow, you're older than I thought you were. Anyway.
I came down here when I was 12.
Yeah, right. I think so. Anyway, but, you know, we Grizz has multiple award-winning television shows, and he takes people fishing, and he does. He gets an opportunity to spend a tremendous amount of time on the water with him and his son, Charlie. And usually that's kind of the stuff we talk about is where to go and great place and all these great fisheries. But today, Grizz, I'd like to see if you could share some of this information with people that may not be fishing with you. I mean, you can take them out and show them what to do, but if they don't get the opportunity to go with you, let's see if we can help some people out. So right in La Paz, mostly it's obviously, salt water, blue water. So let's kind of take a couple of different categories. We can go with inshore, offshore, blue water. But let's start off with, let's just say that you're traveling to Baja and you want to fish from the beach. Is that, could give us an idea about if that's possible and what kind of gear and how you do it?
Yeah, John, all right. We'll start into beach is one way to start out. The one thing you want to remember when you surf cast is have the longest rod possible to cast. Now, most people to say, why such a long rod? The thing of it is, with a long rod, you hold the line up from the waves. The shorter your rod is, the more it comes in contact with your waves coming to the beach and moves your bait. So the perfect, for me, the perfect rod would be a 11-foot to 12-foot rod.
Mm-hmm.
You can make those long casts, and you can hold that line up, and you're not going to have your bait coming in with the washing back up on the bait on the beach so much because
mm-hmm.
you stay away from those waves, as I talk about. The next thing you want to do is you want to make sure you got a good spinning reel because you just can't cast a bait cast reel that far. So you want a nice spinning, you know, Eagle Claw makes a great 600. They call it the 6000 Savalo, which is a great reel to make those long casts with.
And
it, you have enough there line on it that when that fish runs, you don't have to worry about running out of line. Because remember, when you're casting really, really far, I mean, I'm talking about 50 to 75 yards, you know, it takes a lot of line. So you want to have enough line, and if you hook on a big fish, that you can fight that thing without him lining you. That's one of the things that's very, very important.
Okay.
Then, what do you want to fish with? What do you want to fish for? If you want to fish for bottom fish, trigger fish, which is very, very common, you want to use a type of bait. The best type of bait you would want to use is chopped up sardines. They're mm-hmm. very, very well. You want to put them on a small hook, about a six size six circle hook. You want to put it on there, and then you want to come up about 2 foot, 24 inches from your bait, and you want to have a sinker on there. Now, it's preferred to have a pyramid sinker. Why a pyramid and not an egg sinker?
Grabs
a pyramid
the sand.
Will actually stick into the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do make some sinkers that have, like, they call them spider sinkers, that have, like little wires sticking out. That also will hold your bait where you want it way out there. You won't get the movement of it rolling back on the beach with the current.
Okay, so what you've got is you put the bait, the hook, and then about 2 feet up from that, you put the weight. So what happens is when the weight hits the sand, then the bait will float up away from the bottom.
Well, it'll be moving.
Right.
You'll have it moving, you'll go in the current, and then you'll have it anchored there. The best way to put the sinker in is tie directly to your sinker, and then tie another, I mean, use the same thing. You can do one or two things. You can put a swivel on it and tie your line to a swivel, or put your sinker up above the swivel, then tie onto your swivel, and then come in and tie the line another, you know, the 24 inches, tie that on to your swivel.
Okay.
So you understand what I got? You've
got
the control of the movement of the sinker in front of your swivel.
Right.
Then you got your swivel, and then you tie on your bait, and that way it will
with 1 foot,
2 foot,
2 feet from the bait, and then you put a hook. You have a hook on that,
and then you put your bait right on that hook.
Okay, all righty. Now, how big are the fish that you might be getting? So, what kind of pound test would you recommend? Because you want something light enough to throw, but heavy enough to hold the fish.
You know, John, we like to use on the leader that is actually got the hook on, the 24-inch leader, we like to have 40 pounds test.
Okay.
On the line itself, we use this braided line, and you know that Berkeley line is just fantastic, that new Power Pro Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, I mean, hats off to Berkeley for that.
Right.
That's the best line because you can cast it so easy and do a 30-pound test. I guarantee you, I can put you in the water, John, and with that hook you by your pants with that 30-pound test, and I'll bring you into the boat.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. So, okay. And so that would be, and what you said, triggerfish, and you know, I imagine there's corvina.
Well,
you've got
pargo. You've got all kind of snappers out there.
And
you've
can catch those.
Fish.
You can catch those from shore?
Yeah.
Depending
on
whether you're sandy or rocky bottom?
Yeah, well, the ladyfish and the triggers will be on sandy and also the rocks. If you go for the rocks, you want to use a big popper and use the same equipment like the, like I said, the 11, 12-foot rod, the same reel, and cast out over the rocks and use a big popper and jerk it back, and you can pick up some big pargo, pick up rooster fish.
Okay.
Right now, for example, if you want to do that, you could even pick up Sierra. They're in close.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know if we're going to have time in this segment to cover all of that stuff, but I think fishing from shore, which is easy and cheap, and then, and you might even get some rooster fish from there too. But I think that instead of going into the inshore and offshore, we'll save that for a little bit later because we don't have enough time to go into that too deep right now. But so we want to make sure that you're going to be hanging around. I know that you've been busy. You just got through doing the kayak trip down the Pacific coast of the
for 17 days, John.
Yeah. God, I would love to have been there. Anyway, but we're going to be talking about that a little bit later because we have an underwater photographer, Hunter Ledbetter, that was, I guess...
that happened to be with me.
That happened to be with you. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we've got the Grizz. You can find Grizz at ASOB Online, Mike Ritz on Facebook, and what else?
You can find me almost everywhere, Mike the Grizz. If you want to Google me, Mike the Grizz Ritz.
Yeah.
Hunting and fishing in Mexico, I mean, I'm everywhere.
You're right. You're ubiquitous. You're coming all over. And this year you're going to be finding him a lot on television in the States. So, Grizz, why don't you hang in there, and we're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes. And thanks for those great tips. I even learned a few things. You know, old dogs can learn new tricks. Thanks, Grizz. We'll be right back with you. Tell bad
day of fishing is better than a good day at work.
Sandos is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santo's Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we also have with us Mike Ritz, a.k.a. The Grizz, live and direct from this City of Peace, Baja, California, sir. And we've got somebody else that's on that line that might be a little bit interesting because Grizz and Hunter have spent a little bit of time together as we talked, was it last week, the week before, Grizz, about your trip, the kayak trip for 17 days.
We didn't spend time together. We ate together. We were in boats together. We cried together. We had pain together. We did everything together.
Okay, well. Let me introduce Hunter Ledbetter, a legendary underwater photographer that was, keeping track of all the escapades that you and Larissa were up to.
Pretty much, John. I was the still photographer for that 17-day extravaganza. I did all the underwater video, but it was Mike and Charlie that got all the above water, but I had the pleasure of getting to swim with some pretty incredible critters there in the Sea of Cortez and then over in Cabo and in the Pacific. It was a very, very good time.
Well, let me just mention something, and then we're going to kind of go into underwater photography. I was fishing with Grizz, a year or two ago, and we were out filming some marlin. And he's got a couple of guys on the boat. They're photographers, and one of them was doing the underwater. And we had a marlin that was coming up to the boat, And Grizz, you know, tells this guy, well, get in there and take some pictures. So he puts his fins on, he puts his mask on, he grabs his camera, he jumps in the water, and, you know, he's right there where the fish is coming up. And he was out, you know, not that far from the boat, maybe 30 feet at the most, and this marlin was coming directly at him. He had his camera in his right hand, and he took his left hand and just kind of pushed the bill of the marlin away while he was filming. And I got, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't see me doing that. But anyway, I just get that visual. So let's get into underwater photography now. So give us some ideas, first of all, about Hunter Ledbetter, because I know that you're famous in your own right.
Well, I don't know if I'm famous, maybe infamous. I'm retired military. I did 31 years in the Marine Corps. I don't know if it sounds bad. I had the pleasure of serving 31 years. And I've been fishing and diving my entire life and been doing it a lot down in the Keys. And as I kind of got to that retirement age, rather than go back and be a contractor, I just kind of pitched everything and came down to Key West. I had a little house here. This was about a year and a half ago. I retired in June of 2013 after some overseas tours. And I was real fortunate. I actually got to use the GI Bill. There's a little community college here in Key West. And I learned some underwater photography. I got to take some underwater photography classes. I got to get my captain's license and then my dive master and my scuba instructor certification. So I was able to spend a lot of time in the water down here. And there's just some world-class fishermen down here in the Florida Keys. And I've learned a lot from them, and the diving community down here is just really, really superior. Some outstanding individuals, ladies and gentlemen, that have really helped me and taught me a lot. And I think I've learned a little bit, and we get to go out almost every day and take pictures of fish and underwater critters. We do a lot of wide angle for the fishing community and for fishing publications and product promotion. And then personally, I really enjoy the macro photography. There's not a lot of application in it for the fishing community for promotion, but you just get to see some tremendously interesting tiny little creatures and get pictures of them, and my nieces really like that, so everyone seems to get a kick out of it.
So macro, what you're talking about is getting down to small critters and enlarging them so that you can see the detail.
That's exactly right. For example, nudibranchs are sea slugs, little tiny sea slugs that have lost their shell, or they're looking for a new home, but they have this dramatic color, but they are no bigger than your little fingernail, and you essentially swim around the bottom of the ocean looking for them with about 100 millimeter for Canon and about 105 millimeter macro lens for the professionals, individuals that shoot. With Nikon, I personally use a Nauticam housing. I think they're the best, but there's a lot of good housings on the market. And use that, and some of us will actually, on front of your macro housing, we put what's called a diopter. You can do a 5-millimeter or a 10-millimeter diopter and actually enlarge the tiny little thing. And you'll sit there and wait for a lot of time hoping this thing does something interesting. And then you try to get your lights right, and you try to get a picture. So it's challenging photography, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, what about the some of the less expensive stuff that's come out in the action cameras? What is the quality on those?
You know, they actually now, I just saw it advertised, a housing for the iPhone 6.
What? What?
I'm not. I'm sorry?
I said that they have an underwater for an iPhone now?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Wow.
I would not take my iPhone 6 underwater. I've lost three now to waterproof cases that flooded just out doing my thing, not trying to get pictures with them. But you can get some really, really good pictures with a lot of the less expensive cameras. GoPro is coming out with some cameras that you can manipulate, and you're getting a back screen that you can see the pictures you're taking. They're certainly not going to be DSLR capable, but that's going to come pretty soon, I think. And I'm not one of these folks that thinks you have to have a $20,000, $25,000 underwater rig. There's a lot of sharp young divers and folks mm-hmm. out there that are getting, just with a GoPro, they're getting tremendous, beautiful right. photography and images and video. And, you know, no one's going to tell them they need a $25,000 camera underwater gear.
Grizz, would you mind commenting a little bit about what you do and your television shows for underwater?
What we do?
Yeah.
Is, first of all, we like to have somebody like Hunter around. Then we don't have to worry about it. You know, I had the not only fun with Hunter, but I learned an awful lot about taking pictures. And Hunter and I spent a lot of time in the chase boat together. And so if I had Hunter in the boat, I really don't worry about it. But what I do with my guys is, John, when we make the hookup, we play the fish until he's not green anymore. You don't want to send a diver in with a green fish, especially a billfish, because, well, it's not so much the bill that I worry about. It's that line, and I think Hunter can agree with me. Mm. If you got a sailfish or any type of billfish, a marlin, if you got a diver in there and that fish decides to go in a hurry when yeah. he's green, that line, with the new lines we use nowadays, the braided line would just decapitate a man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that fish would be traveling.
Or cut their arm off or hand off.
Take off at 50
fast.
Miles
so,
an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is get the fish wore out and still get some good head shakes and get things, but we don't want to put our divers in danger. And that's one of the number one things we try to work. And then that way the fisherman or who has the fish on the rod can actually manipulate the fish a little bit to get some good shots.
Okay. Well, I have one more question.
Only one, John.
Okay. This is only one. Now,
all right, John.
When you're watching a television show about fishing, and they keep catching fish after fish after fish after fish, Is that the same fish over and over?
Well, it wasn't with us, was it, Hunter?
Heck no.
We were catching 100, 150 fish a day.
The button on the camera, it was really crazy, the amount of fish we were catching.
So, in answer to that question,
Hunter, remember...
Yeah.
Well, we were going to stage the shot on me and the cock, and I made that cast and cut that big-ass halibut.
It was, John, it was exactly right, John. We were, the sun was setting. It was the last picture we were going to get of the day, and we were down. We hadn't got the fish we wanted, and we were going to stage one because that does happen. And sure enough, one of Grizz's baits did the trick, and he pulled in an 11-pound halibut. And we got some incredible pictures with it.
Mm. Well, you know what? If you know, you guys got all those pictures, Fish Talk Radio would certainly appreciate some of them so that we could put on our website and Facebook.
I think we can probably accommodate that.
Okay.
It should be hard at all.
Okay. Well, stay tuned out there. You'll be able to see some of this stuff but we're talking about on there right now. And we're getting a little bit close to time. But so we want to kind of, Hunter, unless you've got time to hang around, you're welcome to stay in for the rest of the program if you want. But if you can, you know, in the next minute or so, let's talk a little bit about you for some promotion if people are interested in finding out about Hunter Ledbetter.
Sure. I appreciate that, John. Let me just echo what Grizz said. There is nothing in the ocean that is worth getting hurt or dying over. There is no picture, and he's exactly right. I don't recommend anybody just jump in with a big pelagic fish without some practice at this.
Mm-hmm.
It can be dangerous. I always go in with two cutting devices, so if you get tangled up, you can catch your way free. And there's always a mate I trust on the boat that's handling the line.
Mm-hmm.
So always keep safety a factor and make
good
sure
point.
Your fish is pretty much played mm-hmm. out. You can still get some good fishes with them.
So if you want to jump in the water with your GoPro,
HunterLedbetterPhotos.com. It's my name, all one word, HunterLedbetterPhotos.com. My Facebook photography page is Key West Photog, THTOG, like photographer, but in the business, we call ourselves TOG for photog.
Okay. Well, we're going to go, but Hunter Ledbetter Photos.
Photog, all one word, at Key West Photog.
Right.
Find me and see some of my pictures.
Okay, Hunter, we got to go.
Bye. Some shots ahead.
This is Fish Talk Radio, Hunter. We'll be right back with you. We'll talk about it some more.
I would rather be fishing. Rather be fishing.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio, and this is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. Catch and release. If a fish you want to release swallows the hook, do you remove it as carefully as you can, or do you cut the line close to the hook? Removing a hook past the mouth will cause a high mortality rate. Many fish will not survive a hook in their body, but their survival rate is about 3 times greater than those damaged by hook removal. Occasionally, it may be best to take and enjoy the fish. Hardened steel hooks will disintegrate, but over years. Stainless steel is much longer. Many hooks left in the fish will come out in a natural way. A fish with a hook may heal around it and not be bothered. This may sound painful, but there are a lot of people with tongue and lip pierced with metal studs without discomfort. Always be careful not to damage the coating of the outside of any fish without scales. This can also cause loss of the fish. Support the fish and do not let it hang. Of course, return it to the water quickly and be sure it swims away. In deep water, a fish with an air bladder needs to go back down slowly using a device for this. The best method of release fish is by using a circle hook. The points turn back towards a shank. Long popular in salt water, it is very effective at catching and holding fish. It lodges in the corner of the mouth for easy removal. The circle hook is used by commercial fishermen because it holds better and lasts longer. When using a circle hook, do not set the hook. You will pull it out of the mouth. As a fish takes the bait and swims away, the hook catches in the corner of the mouth and because of the shape holds tight. As the line tightens, just start winding. Enjoy being outside on the water and do not take the last one. Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio. And by the way, Captain Karen Hookham is hanging in here. She's been a little quiet.
I'm always quiet because I'm listening. These are fantastic. I want to meet Hunter because I'm a big photographer and I love anything to do with...
You look like just a little wisp of a girl.
I am just a little wisp of a girl, but I love taking pictures and just the underwater portion of it sounds super exciting, and I've always wanted to try to master that. So this is quite interesting.
Well, Hunter, I apologize because when we were ending up that last segment, we had to cut you short. But the simple thing to do is give a website that's real simple because people aren't smart enough to remember it. They're probably not going to write it down. So if we do,
but the best part about Fish Talk is you get to play it over and over again.
You can go back and listen to it again and again and again. You're right. But anyway, the website for Hunter Ledbetter is
HunterLedbetterPhotos.com. It's just my name and then photos, all one word.
And it's LED, and then that's even better yet is LEDBETTER. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, HunterLedbetterPhotos.com. That's an easy one. Okay, if you don't mind, let's kind of go back to where we were. That was a lot of fun. Now, you, well, Grizz started off by talking about fishing from the shore, and it is possible to go to Baja with a long rod and catch fish from shore. But what you guys were doing on your kayaking trip was close to shore. So why don't we kind of go back to that a little bit, and maybe Grizz can give us some techniques on how it's done, and you can give us some ideas on what you saw when you were down there. And if hopefully you got some pictures of Grizz falling out of his kayak or something that you can tell us about.
I never fell out of a kayak, John.
Well, I said hopefully.
No, why would you hope I fall out of a kayak? You're not nice.
I know, I just want to
say. First of all, I want to ask Mr. Hunter, the great photographer, who cooked his Christmas dinner for him?
Hey, I'm telling you what, if you want some cherry turkey, okay, this is the man to go see.
What I'm saying, cherry turkey, is that what you said? Chili
Absolutely.
Turkey.
It was delicious.
Oh, okay. So I thought they used cormorants down in La Paz for Christmas.
I don't know where he found it, but I'd go back. I'd go back for Christmas dinner at Grizz's any time.
But
Hunter, I had the great honor of cooking with Captain Patrick Crawford, Larissa, and Hunter in my home, and I cooked dressing and we spent Christmas together, all of us here, and it was a wonderful time, just had a great time.
Well, if
but
you
anyway,
guys wouldn't
John,
mind.
If you want to talk about how we fish the estuaries,
yeah,
I'll be more than happy to tell you what happened, we did, and what we caught.
Okay. Grizz, without cutting you short, you'd think we'd have this better plan, but we do have Kelly Short that he may want to talk about Baja, but he's also a charter boat captain in the Pacific Northwest, and we're able just to get him on right now. So let's bring him on for a couple of minutes, let him introduce himself, and then I'm sure the three of you guys will have something in common. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Kelly Short with Kelly Short Outdoors.
Okay. Now, Kelly, we've been talking to Mike Ritz, Grizz, of course, as everybody knows him, and Hunter Ledbetter, underwater photographer, that just got through with almost a two-week trip with the Grizz filming underwater. And that would have been starting in the state of Baja California Sur, and fishing Mag Bay in that area and kayaks.
But it must have been fantastic.
Well, maybe you got some questions for him, but let's go ahead and give us a little bit of an idea about what you do. And I know that you have some affiliations also in Baja.
Yeah, I'm a captain up in Oregon, and I run guided trips for steelhead, salmon, and sturgeon on the Columbia, and focus highly on sturgeon because we have the largest population of white sturgeon in the 48 states down here, and so it's just been phenomenal with that. I fish next to the coast down in Astoria, Oregon, in the estuary right there, so I'm getting all the fish that are coming out of the ocean instead of up trapped behind the dams anywhere. And then, of course, the last couple of years, we've just had phenomenal salmon runs. I mean, this year's predicted to be like last year on the Columbia, and I'm sure everybody read news of that and everything else. It was as good as it gets in Alaska. It was unbelievable.
Well, I can't wait. We've got a trip to Clover Pass coming up in July. And, yeah, last year was a good year, and it looks like the things go in cycles, and we're in the top of the cycle. But so you fish, obviously, sturgeon is very interesting because I think if you were to ask 1,000 anglers how many of them ever caught a sturgeon, I'd be surprised if more than one or two raised their hand.
Yeah, I don't. We have a lot of participation up here in the Northwest because they're available a little bit more. I mean, I spent a couple days around the mothball fleet in California down there and fished, and I caught a couple. The last couple years, the keeper size fish are from 45 to 54 inches to the fork of the tail, and they estimated last year there was 137,000. Keeper size fish.
Whoa.
In that bottom end of the river. And
interesting.
We actually averaged like 25 to 40 fish a day with four people in the boat. And we're fishing 9-foot rods with, 40-pound line with just a little 3-ounce, 4-ounce sinker and a fresh anchovy or sand shrimp. Okay. And
I think what we might want to do Kelly, is to bring you on and let's do a whole segment on sturgeon, because they are very, very interesting. And of course, they're very well regulated with the slot limit, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And they can, you know, they're not only do they look prehistoric, they can live to be like 100 years old, right?
Oh, yes. Incredibly. Right. We've caught them up to, 1,000 pounds up in the gorge.
Wow.
Big, 15 feet long. But, you and me have some good friends. I do some stuff in Baja in the wintertime and the spring a little bit in the fall there, and you're affiliated with one of my friends with Blue Sky Charters.
Oh,
and then I work with Leonard and Baja Pirates out of La Paz. Mm-hmm. And I put on a Yellowtail Classic tournament and bring down 40-50 people every year, and we have a tournament there and do some things, so that's a lot of fun. And then I have a few other people in Cabo
Let's talk about Cabo then for a little bit. And of course, we got coming up, which I'm sure Grizz is, as you know, he's building an entire fleet down in La Paz,
mm-hmm.
We're coming into the yellowtail season, which was now Grizz yellowtail. Would you spoil it? March and April, is that last year they were around forever?
Yellowtail are here right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, we're catching yellowtail up to 30 pound right now.
Well, I know last year they were around, and then they moved up the coast of California, and I think we're still catching some of last year's yellowtail off of San Diego.
Yeah, I heard a few of my friends said that fish down there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is pretty spectacular, and a lot of people don't realize how fun Baja is, whether you're at the top of Baja or all the way to the bottom. It's just spectacular scenery all the way down. I've made that drive from Oregon 8 years in a row, down there and back, and a couple times I've towed boats, and I try to tell people that if they want to see some scenic beauty, there's nothing like driving that Baja down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure looks a lot different from the road than it does at 35,000 feet, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then so you do a yellowtail tournament. Maybe Grizz can give you some help on that. But the yellowtail, this coming up for this time of the year. By the way, we do have a trip on Real Fun Adventures coming up, and you'll be able to look at the website here on Real Fun Adventures, I think, in the next couple of days, about a trip to La Paz. And it's getting in, gosh, I hope it's not too late, Grizz. It's towards the end of April. Is that still all right for yellowtail?
Yeah, they should still be here.
Okay. And then, of course, we're going to be fishing with the Grizz down there and staying at the five-star Costa Baja Resort in La Paz, which is astounding. So you're going to get the best
nice
of both.
Yep, nice resort.
Right. So you get, but the price that when you look at the trip, you go, how's that possible? You could spend four nights at the resort for the same price that you get the whole package for. And then maybe, I can't promise anything, but Grizz might be around, and you might end up getting your picture or yourself on television. Who knows?
Yeah, people would love that.
Always possible.
It's always possible. Now, Grizz is too busy to fish with us, but he might be able to take a day off. Who knows? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I generally do for you, John.
That's last time, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, but I'm sad. But he's getting so popular now, it's hard to pin him down. But so you do that, and you work, of course, with Jim that we have on with Blue Sky that should appear.
Yeah, and then I've helped him out with the Wahoo tournament they put on in San Jose. I'm an ambassador for Penn and Pure Fishing with Berkeley and stuff, and I come down there and help those with the local guys with their pangas and everything down there. I bring rods and reels and try to help that little tournament out as much as I can when I'm down there.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we've got a little community going here, because I know Hunter has a presence in Baja too, don't you, Hunter?
I've got some friends down there. Jim has invited me back, and of course I know Grizz. I don't have a place to stay there yet, but that may be coming.
Hunter, don't worry. You got a place to stay. between Jim, me.
He comes to my house, John. Yeah. He stays at my house.
There you go. There you go.
The best part about the fishing community.
Unfortunately, it looks like this segment just went by way too fast. So we're going to have to, again, apologize for that, but we're going to have to get Shorty back on and talk about I'd like to talk about sturgeon, and we're going to be back real quickly. So
hang on.
Anyway, this segment is coming to a close,
but
so we appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio.